You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
President Cyril Ramaphosa has signed the National Health Insurance Bill into law. It may take some years before you and I can realize the so-called benefits. Business, the medical aid industry, and some healthcare professionals are not at all impressed, though, with the move, citing vague timelines and uncertainty over funding. We speak to Jeremy Yatt. He's the principal officer at FedHealth. Jeremy, thank you very much for your time this evening. I guess let's start with your overall reaction.
Thanks, Judy. Thanks for having me. The thing that I take the most exception to is this portrayal that the private sector and medical schemes in particular are somehow opposed to an offering of universal healthcare, and that we're against the have-nots now having access to healthcare. And nothing could be further from the truth. And it is so frustrating that it's being played out in this way that people with some kind of vested interest are trying to hoard healthcare treatment facilities accessibility to themselves and not to allow the greater population access to it. Nothing could be further from the truth, and we certainly want to work with a sane and rational government that we can assist in an interim space where we provide healthcare to certain members of the population, and they provide healthcare facilities to certain members of the population, and together we have greater coverage. So this sort of notion, this narrative that we're opposed to the NHI because we're somehow trying to protect some vested interest, some small part for our own personal gain is very wrong, and it's very distressing that it's being put out there by our government.
Jeremy, you would have heard in the address, I mean, words like, for instance, terror being used, saying people need not to be terrified, and words like fear. To your point, what is it then that is, I guess, you are taking, or you find a problem with the bill itself or with NHI itself?
There are a number of areas where the bill is lacking, and it's been debated at length. I'm not sure that you really want me to go over some of these areas, but for us, the real thing is that people have chosen, our members have chosen to purchase a medical cover and to avail themselves of certain benefits. And that right, in terms of this act now, is going to be taken away from them, and they will have to then do something else. Now, we are standing here in the interest of our members. Remember, FedHealth is a medical scheme, and our associated sort of industry colleagues, other medical schemes, are not-for-profit entities, and we are standing here in the interest of our members to ensure that they get the type of healthcare that they want. And government's trying to take that away from them. What I'm curious about is how certain sectors of the employed population, for instance, the government employees who are on GEMS, I wonder how they are feeling about having this right taken away from them. And, they receive very good medical aid benefits at a great subsidy from their employer. And now they're going to be told, sorry, it's into this uncertain maw of state-funded, state-purchased healthcare. And I don't know that enough thought has really been given to the implications, the consequences of this act, of what it means. And what the government really should have done was follow the HMI recommendations from the Competition Commission inquiry, and they should have looked to implement that as the bridging mechanism to providing a more universal healthcare system.
When you speak of consequences, how immediate is the impact, right? Because what we are hearing is that it's going to be taking a number of years. It's uncertain just how many years this will take before it actually, or what the people that are said where this is done in your name, it's going to impact you or it's going to benefit you. It's not clear just when it's going to be. Is it clear to you how immediate the impact will be?
The immediate impact is in the uncertainty that it creates, in the added resentment that many medical aid members have. You know, medical aid is a grudge purchase. We understand this. We understand medical aid is expensive. We understand healthcare is expensive. So we're not confused about any of those aspects, those challenges that our industry faces. But it doesn't help to make it worse. It doesn't help to make members more resentful, to make doctors, the healthcare providers, more uncertain and potentially more likely to go to other areas where they feel they have a little bit more security or stability in their work. So that's an immediate effect. The other immediate effect is what will this mean for investment in healthcare businesses? We need people to develop more tests, you know, the genetic tests and the technological advances that commonly we have to refer off to the US or to Europe to be done, and could be done here if the investment was made. And would people now invest in it in this uncertain environment? The answer is probably no. So those will be very short-term effects. I agree that long-term, you know, it's not like the wand is going to be waved and suddenly, you know, everyone will have to be able to go to a private facility and and receive treatment as Panyaza Lesufi promised. I can't see that happening anytime soon. But the uncertainty and the additional loss of amenities for healthcare professionals, I think, is going to be a big challenge.
What options are available to you, Jeremy?
So as FedHealth, we are not going to take any direct action against the Act. We are part of the Health Funders Association, which in turn is part of Business Unity, and we've already been preparing legal challenges. The legal challenges are not to protect vested interests. The legal challenges are to protect our members' interests. And I just need to re-emphasize that point.
All right. Thank you very much for your contribution this evening. Jeremy Yat, Principal Officer at FedHealth.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.